Yeah, I know. Rascal Flatts did the version for Cars, but I like Tom Cochran's version better. It is the In the Garage podcast, ITG number 42. Thank you so much for joining us. My name is Jim O'Brien. I'm going to take you back to the Detroit Auto Show. Cars 3 is coming out, and Cars, the original one, a lot of influence from here in the Motor City. Obviously, the Motor City Cars, but the way that the folks from Pixar really showed a lot of respect to Detroit, and we'll get into this in this interview. We're talking with Jay Ward and Jay Schuster from Pixar. We're sitting there right by a giant Lightning McQueen, and we talk about what's coming up in Cars 3, inspiration, F1 racing, how hard it is to draw some of these vehicles, and the time commitment that these guys make. Really some interesting stuff, a lot of insight, and the folks at Pixar are awesome for granting us this much time to talk with the two Jays in the Garage podcast right here on WCSX.com or on iTunes, and we do hope you subscribe. All right, two Jays.
Hi.
We got the two Jays here. Jay Ward?
Yes, hello.
And our local guy, right, Jay?
Yes.
Last name?
Schuster.
I want to make sure I got it right.
Yes.
Jay Schuster. Now, you're from?
Well, I was born in Pontiac.
Okay.
And I grew up in Birmingham.
And then moved out and decided to go to Pixar and just forget all about us.
Well, no. So that was the whole idea, was to find something out there that I could bring back home and celebrate here in Detroit.
Well played, which is Cars. So now, let me ask you guys a question about it. We're talking about Cars 3 here at the Auto Show as we look at the Lightning McQueen. Really cool, by the way.
Yeah.
Actually, really cool.
Thank you.
Who gets that when we're all done? Can you guys raffle that off?
Can we
have
do something
it.
Actually, we're going to just give it away or probably burn it.
Okay.
No, that this Lightning McQueen is going to be, first of all, it's hanging at the Auto Show for 2 weeks. All the way through the public days, people can come and see it. From there, this McQueen is going to start on a life-size car tour that we have that will go coast to coast, city to city, visiting people, telling about the film up to the day of the film coming out. So this is part of a life-size cars tour.
So here at the Auto Show, we talk about like the arc of development. I was just over talking to some folks at Chrysler. When they bring out even a concept like the Portal over there, that really cool kind of looking minivan with the sliding doors on the side,
yeah,
18 months to 2 years from the initial drawing to bring it out to this stage.
That's pretty quick.
For Cars 3, how long has it been in the pipeline? How long have you actively been working on the project?
The average Pixar film takes 4 to 5 years. 4 to 5.
Yeah, and for a character like McQueen or Jackson Storm, you're talking about probably about 2 years.
Yeah.
So wait a minute. So you're saying like, so when you guys render out like Jackson Storm, coming up with a new character A, and then it takes you 2 years to get it to where you want it, or just that character alone is 2 years worth of work?
2 years worth of work. What happens
is
people don't realize, and Jay can talk about this more, is it starts with a sketch, a drawing on paper. There's no computer time early on. We start with a physical pen and paper and begin to sketch and sketch and sketch tons of drawings. Mm. Then we go to clay. Then we refine the clay. Then we sketch again over the clay. Then we go into the computer and do a rough model. Then we refine the model. Then we articulate the model, paint and shade the model, light the model. Then it goes in the film. So imagine the most complex long pipeline where you get nothing for free. We make every single thing in the car.
So if I looked at the initial drawing of Jackson Storm, how anything like it? You move that button.
Well, you know, so what we started Jackson Storm's design with was the premise that he has to just contrast as much as possible with McQueen. So McQueen, strong flowing lines. This guy, angular, sharp, dangerous. That would probably be the only thing that reads through to that original sketch. Otherwise, he looks completely different.
And then, like with an iconic car, like you said, so you have to contrast. So every new car that you introduce into the Cars world has to be unique to a point where, like, when I'm looking at Cruz Ramirez, are any of the vehicles in there?
That's right.
That gets harder every time you tell a story, doesn't it? You're going to run out of angles eventually.
Well, it's interesting. If you look, you have 100 years of car design to play with, right? I mean, you go back to Model T all the way to modern times. The loose rule of thumb is the age of the car is the age of the character. For instance, Lizzie was older than Doc. Doc was older than McQueen. So there is a little bit of logic to it. An older car is an older model car. A younger car is going to be a newer model vehicle, just to give you some logic there.
So was this a passion project for John? It always was from the beginning, right? The
Absolutely.
Whole idea of cars and coming here to the Motor City. I seem to remember he went to like the Hudson Museum in Ipsy and you know, for Doc, and talked a lot about it.
Yeah, we went to the Chrysler Museum, actually, which had, you know, the Hudson Hornet on display, too. We did a ton of research. So we actually started coming to Detroit in January of 2001. We came to the auto show and toured the museums and met with manufacturers and designers. We came back in 2002 and met with the all the manufacturers to get permission to put their cars, the licensed cars, not our in-house design, but the licensed cars in the film. And we came back again and again. We spoke at the Auto Week Design Forum twice. So we did a lot of really sort of build up to the film, and Detroit was an integral part of that.
Do you have a lot of people now, like when celebrities, I mean, I remember like Richard Petty in the first one. It was so cool to have the King there. I mean, and he did a great job.
He did.
Now you are on the third one. Are you trying to bring in, like, I know there was Dale Jr. was in the first one, right?
Dale, yep, Jr. was in the first one.
So can we
I don't want to give anything away, but yeah. I guess I'm asking you to. Are we going to expect that kind of thing in the third one as well?
Oh, yeah. In fact, I would say the talent in this film, the racing world talent, the legends, there are some real talent of the racing world that's going to be coming in and voicing in this film that's going to blow you away, where you're going to go like, oh, my gosh, they got, you're going to be blown away. It's exciting. I wish I could tell you more, but there's some good stuff.
So as we're doing this, talking with the two J's, that we get it right here. So I'm a huge Pixar fan, like everybody is. I think most people, we follow the arc of the movies and the evolution of the films, too.
Yeah.
It's funny to go back and watch Toy Story. And I mean that in a good way.
Toy Story 1, yeah.
It's so clean.
Yeah.
It's so clean.
Yeah.
And now I watch, and what you guys introducing it, I've always wondered, can you go too far the other way and make it too busy?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. One of the things we found, so early on, you know, Toy Story was our first feature film in 1995. We went on to Bug's Life, and Bug's Life 1998 was a little bit simpler. When it was bugs, they were all kind of candy shells in some ways. There was a little less complexity. When we got to Monsters, Inc., so we did Toy Story 2 after that. When we got to Monsters, Inc., we had fur, we had scales, we had human children. And what we were learning was asymmetry is what makes things look natural. Nobody's face is perfectly symmetrical from side to side, and we began to build in asymmetry to everything. Now, it's different with cars. But with humans and living characters, asymmetry is very important, or else you do hit that uncanny valley. And of course, yeah, you can go too far one way or the other. You have to find that sweet spot of believable, yet not too realistic.
Wasn't that the story about Charles Schulz when they did the first like TV special? And they said, can you draw Charlie facing... no. He's like, I can't.
There's an angle, right?
That's the one angle. That's how I know how to draw.
How does it hold up? We don't get that advantage, you know, because our films are CG, and Schuster can tell you from car design, it has to work from every single angle. There's no cheating. There's no, that's pushed in or warped. Every single line is thought about. Every surface, every shut point, every piece of glass, it's all thought out.
So, Jay Schuster, some of the automotive people, some of the design guys you talk to, for example, I remember Jay Mays was involved in the first one.
He and John became good friends after that visit in 2001, was it, or 2002?
That began it.
And it was just great getting his input on just from a manufacturing standpoint. You know, what is his take on kind of this next-gen supercar? And so he came in, he gave us about 3 weeks of his work, came in with some sketches. We just had a good old time workshopping it. We were just all in the room together throwing drawings around and put them up on the board. John came in, had a look. We went down to Daytona 500 in 2015, talked to Ray Avernham at Hendrix. And actually right there in the paddock before the race, had a stash of drawings in my backpack. Showed him these sketches, and he was like, oh, man, I'd race that thing. You know, so we just get all kinds of feedback. And, but also really wanted to ask him, like, would you see this thing racing in 20 years on the NASCAR?
And John always says that, like, what would you guys do if you could, if you didn't have restraints? Because we don't have those restraints, right? We can do what we want. We don't have to worry about safety or engineering. What would you do? Oh, man. What we always wanted to do that they told us we couldn't is, and John will go, okay, and we'll take that and absorb that and go from there. That's a great thing we have. We can make this world as appealing and perfect as we want. John's goal is when the real car manufacturers, the real race track owners see these things and go, I wish we could have a track like that, because we can.
Would you ever consider an F1 part of the cars world, for mainly for people in Europe? Because the passion for F1 here in the States is growing, but it's not quite there.
I'm an
F1 in Europe,
guy,
but in Europe, you know, I mean, for the other 90% of the world, F1 is the sport. I mean, it is the racing sport.
And Jay Schuster designed Francesco Bernoulli for Cars 2 that was an open-wheeled race car, and that was definitely a love letter to F1. The tricky thing with the F1 cars, and Schu can talk more, is it's an open cockpit, open canopy, and we need closed cockpits for the eyes. And also it's a very narrow canopy, too. So Schu had almost designed a little helmet for the eyes. And it worked, but it's tough.
But if they put those halo devices that they're talking about, it makes it a little bit easier because you got that partition and you put some eyes on it.
It might start looking like Alien. it's funny. I went to Monaco. We went to Monaco for Formula One for research for Cars 2. And, you know, when we were walking outside, you can hear the sound echoing off the walls. Those are the good engineers, the loud ones. There was these concession stands, and these guys were selling bootleg Cars merchandise to the kids, like bootleg McQueen. So
you're walking through Monaco going, seriously?
Yeah, seriously?
Seriously?
Disney's not here. But the fact was, McQueen is universally loved around the world, even by F1 fans, because it's a red race car who's just this awesome race car character. Even though he's not F1, they still have F1, but he's just beloved, you know, as a character.
But there's got to be just extra audio of Larry the Cable Guy just going off when you guys record.
We have
there's
a lot of
gotta
that.
Be.
There's a lot of that.
Yeah, those stream of conscious stuff. Not exactly, I don't think, Pixar friendly at
some
times.
Some of it, yeah. I don't know if you've heard his satellite radio show. Not so much. You know, he recorded for Cars Land because we have a ride. It's Mater's Junkyard Jamboree. And Larry the Cable Guy did all that recording. And you can't, there's no off switch. You just let that man go. He is amazing. Amazing.
Well, all the voice work. I mean, and that's something else. The last thing I want to touch you guys, it was like with Pixar, it's not just what you guys do on the screen. It's the actual writing and the emotional
thing.
Oh, yeah. My family still beats me to death over Cars, over Toy Story 3, because I lost it.
Yeah.
When he took the toys and gave them to the girl.
Oh, yeah.
I'm in the theater. I'm like bawling my eyes out.
Oh, yeah.
My wife's like, so let me get this right. The only two movies that really made you cry were Saving Private Ryan and Toy Story 3. I'm like, what's your point? So we're like watching a movie, and they'll lean over and go, Dad, you okay? I mean, it's not Toy Story 3. Still, I just get beat
just
up about
remember,
that.
Just remember, it's allergies. It's allergies. Cue the tissue ahead of time. You know it's coming when you hear Michael Giacchino's music score. You got allergies. Bad allergy attack.
Okay. Yeah. I was acting like that's golden seal. Just saw my
I got the same problem. And I mean, we make the movies. I know what's coming, and I still get emotional.
So how many moments like that in this one?
There's some off, honestly, I'm going to tell you the truth. This is the most, I think, tender and emotionally moving of the three films. This film is, I got to tell you, it's got everything you love in a Pixar film in spades.
Well, the teaser trailer scared the hell out of us.
We wanted that. We wanted to reset.
Did.
We wanted to reset expectations.
Everybody, Jalopnik was having like an aneurysm over it. They lost their mind. They were so mad at you guys.
I loved it.
It was like
it.
Someone just kicked their kid or
we
something.
We flip over the apple cart. For Cars especially, because, you know, here's the thing. Cars is 10 years old. And people have these preconceived notions of like, oh, yeah, we know Cars. I'll drop off little Johnny. This film is everybody will love it. The adults, all ages will love this film. I'm telling you. And we've seen that this weekend. I'm bringing my kids to the auto show. It's the parents doing the selfies with McQueen. Let's be
Absolutely.
Honest. Yeah.
Yeah, we're not dumb. Yeah. So now I have seen the new trailer, so we can glean a little bit more from this, that it's at a point in Lightning's career where he's not the fastest car anymore.
Right.
Okay,
right.
And Jackson's got him covered.
Right.
So he has to maybe, he talks about it in the trailer, and I'm not leading you anywhere, but I'm saying like, he's got to learn how to be a smarter driver,
smarter
car.
Can't race faster.
Right. So that's kind of the premise of that.
Yeah.
So this is kind of a Rocky feel to it, maybe a little bit. He's got to learn how to... Is this Rocky, too? Does he go to the beach? Does he run on there? Anything? Are we going to get Survivor involved in this?
I'm going to tell you, Eye of the Tiger. Eye of the Tiger, buddy. I'm going to start wearing a beret. No. We're all old enough to kid around about Survivor.
Exactly.
That's what I like.
Exactly.
There'd be a kid next to us going, what are they talking about?
Beret?
Yeah.
I know. Who makes that car?
What's a beret?
Never mind. Yeah.
Anyway. No, you know, there is some moments of that, because here's the thing. And actually, John equates him a lot to Jeff Gordon, too. When you're a champion, when you're on the top of your game, where do you go from there? How do you exit out from that? What do you do when there's a guy literally half your age that is faster than you, and you know you cannot sprint like that guy sprints? What do you have that he doesn't have? And that's an interesting premise to start with. McQueen has to think differently. And you have to look backwards sometimes to move forwards. You got to remember where you've been to where you've gone to move to the next step. And Cruise along the way is this young car. I think there's some great themes of mentorship in this film. I got to say, strong female character. I'm the dad of a daughter and a son, and my daughter loves Cars as much as my boy. There's now a character that she can root for. This film, I'm telling you, the whole family.
This is awesome. And it's funny you mentioned that dynamic, because we're seeing, I believe we're going to see it in F1.
Yeah.
Think about it. The 18-year-old, and his name is completely outside my
Max
mind, for Red Bull. Okay, this kid is what, 19 maybe?
Yeah, I think he just turned 19.
Lewis Hamilton is the most popular race car driver in the world.
Yeah.
That kid had him covered in a car that wasn't as fast.
I know, Max Verstappen's
got something. If the rules come around, and you've seen Lewis Hamilton, I love him, but he's going to be going through what you're talking about, Lightning
McQueen. Where do you go from there, yeah.
Where suddenly it's like, hey, maybe I'm not the best driver on the track.
And part of it, too, was Mercedes' dominance, because that car was just an unstoppable car. You could have put anybody in that car. And I'm not saying Lewis is an amazing, talented driver.
There were six guys last year. And we did a podcast with Jackie Stewart. He said there were six guys last year that could have won the championship in that car.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say Daniel Ricciardo is another one where that guy's got it in spades. Red Bull's lucky, because they're getting their mojo back right now. But 2017's a new season. They're going to change all those cars around again. We'll see what happens. Yeah.
But that's what you've touched on a nerve for not only racing, anyone. Whether it's business and life in general, right? I mean, it's that thing.
You cannot be comfortable. And the other thing is knowing what is your next thing? What do you do? Because if you're right, go back to Lewis Hamilton. Like, you're a great champion, but there's a window of time for anything you do in life. There's a window of time. And there's nothing wrong with knowing when that window ends, but just know what you want to do next. Instead of, look at Michael Schumacher. Tried to come back, and it wasn't pretty. Like, leave on that high note. And McQueen says, you know, I want to leave on that high note, or if he wants to stay, whatever. But he want, like anybody, you want it to be on your terms. You want to say when it's time.
That's a tough balance for you guys too. I mean, yeah. you're trying to balance. You have an undercurrent that is, you know, there's a serious tone to it.
Yeah.
But you still got to keep it light. You still got to keep it moving. You got to keep it funny.
Yeah.
I think there's so many layers to Pixar films that have made these resonate with people for such a period of time.
Oh yeah.
I'll be watching them my entire life.
Great.
Yeah, absolutely.
We love it.
Congratulations, guys.
Thank
this is
you.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Meeting you.